Good afternoon and welcome to a very special edition of The LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, March 6, 2010. I am Harley Schlanger and I will be your host today. It's my very special honor to have with me today the Democratic Party nominee from the 22nd Congressional District of Texas, Keisha Rogers. Keisha is a LaRouche Youth Movement member who shocked the Democratic Party establishment in the United States, including especially in the White House, as well as the ruling elites of the British Empire, with her election victory last Tuesday. But if you're a regular listener to this program and don't fall asleep while you're listening, her victory should not have been a shock to you. LaRouche PAC launched three congressional campaigns with the intent that they would form a single unifying force across the continental United States to defeat the assault of the British Empire, centered around the Rothschild-controlled InterAlpha Group, and acting through their puppet, the narcissistic President of the United States, Barack Obama, which is threatening to destroy our nation. LaRouche has been writing about the poet Percy Shelley's insights into how a population that's demoralized, that's frustrated, that's angry, under threat of annihilation, can be moved as if by the spirit of the age to rise above their littleness and act for all time. This is what just happened in the 22nd District of Texas, as voters of this Houston area congressional district cast their ballots for Keisha Rogers, knowing full well that she was a LaRouche Democrat and that she was campaigning for the impeachment of President Obama. And she won. So let me welcome to the program today the Democratic Party nominee for Congress in the 22nd District of Texas, Keisha Rogers. Keisha, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Harley. Hello.
And also joining us will be the dynamic duo from the special weekly campaign show on LPAC TV, Down with the Traitors. If you're not watching this program each week, you're making a very serious mistake about how you're spending time in your life. So let me welcome with great happiness Matthew Ogden and Leandra Bernstein.
Hello, Harley.
Hi, Harley.
All right, and I'm very much looking forward to this dialogue today, and I want to bring our listeners in on it as well. So if you have a question that pertains to the topic, which is basically how human beings intervene creatively to shape universal history, as Keisha and our colleagues have done in the 22nd District, get your questions in early, and if they're good, we'll take them on the air. So send your questions into radio@larouchepub.com. That's radio@larouchepub, LaRouchePub.com. So, Keisha, I guess the last couple of days have been a bit of a whirlwind, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, as you and I have been talking this last period, we never really talked about winning the election. We talked about winning the war. And if we did what was right in the war, we knew that it would have an effect in the election. How do you see this war? How are you organizing in your fight for the election?
Well, I think that's very important that when we put forth this campaign, our intention was not to go out and win an election, but to organize a new generation of leadership in the population, to change the population, to use what we saw fermenting within the population, what we identified as the mass strike, to take that and challenge and educate the population to take a real responsibility for their futures. And with that, this is going out on the streets, into the population, into the district where we were organizing very intensely for the past several months around the campaign, which I put very firmly on the table, one, that we have to go immediately with the impeachment of President Obama, and secondly, that we had to have an economic recovery policy that was centered on what Mr. LaRouche laid out clearly as the LaRouche plan. And I think that our organizing exemplified a quality of leadership throughout the population to get them out of this state of just, I'm going to wait to see what's going to happen, or I'm going to just, I'm only a small figure in this in this process, and I cannot do anything to change what's happening. But what we saw is that since the mass strike ferment that started to erupt last August, you have seen the population start to move in a way that they've never moved before.
Well, Keisha, let me cut you off there. Let me cut you off there and ask you a question, because there's a lot of confusion about this question of the mass strike. And Matt, who's on with us, did a video on this some time ago with Rosa Luxemburg's ideas on it. But as you look at the district, the president, in a sense, gave us a big hand by destroying NASA, because it proved that you were right, that he has to be impeached. But here we have a situation that's ironic. 5,000 jobs in your district, in the Houston area, threatened by the president's action. And we talk about a mass strike, but we didn't see people coming into the street. We didn't see that anger, but we knew it was there. How did you reach out to those people?
Our objective was, going out and actually organizing the population to give them a real solution. One of the things that we would do is to go out very visibly in the population with a firm solution, go out with big banners. We actually had a banner that we were going out with that said, "Save NASA, impeach Obama, vote Keisha." We made it very clear to people that if they wanted a real economic solution, or if they were serious about saving NASA, then they had to call for the impeachment of Obama. And this was something that, no other candidate or no one had the guts to stand up and say. So as we were going throughout the district with our sound truck, with big banners on it, "Save NASA, impeach Obama," or the banner that we were using throughout the district was a banner that said, "Come and take it," with a big picture of a space shuttle on it. This was really moving people and provoking people, because they saw that we were not afraid to go out and tell the truth when we would go and knock on the doors of the constituents. And, you would find a lot of people that had been down and out and demoralized. And as we would come to knock on their doors, we would tell them, this is not about an election, Democrat or Republican. This is about participating in, participating in a process to save the republic, and that you needed to join our fight, because we were at war against the enemies of the United States, against the enemies of our republic. And what the president was doing to not only shut down NASA or calling to continue the fascist drive toward the policies for, health care reform, but that these policies exemplified the fact that the president had turned his back on the American people, turned his back on his constitutional oath of office, and said that he was going to act in the interest of Wall Street and London. And people started to move. And
so you were speaking for the forgotten men and women of the 22nd
Absolutely.
District, but also for the whole country, because you never saw this as a local campaign.
Right. And that was the key, that we were moving people, that this fight was going to actually provoke and inspire a movement within the population, not just in the 22nd district, but throughout the country, and for that matter, as we've seen in the after effects throughout the world.
Keisha, I'd like you to, one of the moments to me that I knew that you were starting to get across to people, and I've done campaigns for a long time in Texas. I know the population here. I know you've got this particular kind of ornery character in Texas who doesn't like to be told how to think. But sometimes they don't think too well, and other times they surprise you. Now, one of the indications to me that you were reaching people on a deeper level was the events that you and Alicia Saratani did at senior citizens' homes. I'd like you to describe that first one you went to give people a sense of what it means when Lyndon LaRouche says that there is a spirit of the age, but you have to provoke it, you have to inspire it, you have to invoke it in people so that they act. How did you guys
Absolutely.
Do that? What happened then?
Well, I think the most profound example to express is when in the organizing, if you're getting people who have been completely devastated, down and out, or who have been as going to the nursing homes or going to the retirement homes, you look at what the Obama administration is doing to push a policy to basically kill off the elderly or to say that we're not going to look at them as valuable in society. And for myself and Alicia and other organizers to go in and say, no, we're here, my campaign is to fight on behalf of your interests, to say that we're out there doing everything that we can to make sure that you have a voice. And this is what we expressed to them. And by doing that, we gave them a sense that in order to change the culture and the thinking of the population, that you had to bring a sense of beauty back into the culture and back into the population. So they were very stunned. They were very moved and overwhelmed when Alicia and I started to sing canons. We would sing, canons by Mozart, such as Hallelujah or Dona Nobis Pacem, and you would see the room just light up. I know one place that we walked into, there were a couple of older people, an older couple that was sitting at the piano, and they were playing the piano. They were probably in their 90s, and once we walked in, they were completely inspired by not only the message that we had, that we're not afraid to tell the truth, we're going after President Obama and his policies to destroy the United States and to go against their interests, but we're also going to do it by challenging a new generation of leadership and by bringing forth a real culture in our society. And the music just really moved people to points beyond words, beyond what you can describe in terms of how they were impacted by what we were doing.
Well, you're listening to 22nd Congressional District Democratic nominee Keisha Rogers. Are you getting used to the sound of that yet, Keisha?
I think so, yes.
Well, and Keisha won an election on Tuesday with 53% of the vote. And she's now the nominee. And I'd like to bring in our team from LaRouche PAC TV, from the Down with the Traitors, Matthew and Leandra. You were closely following this. You were bringing to life the images from the 22nd District, providing, and also giving Rachel Brown, who's running against Bailout Barney up in the 4th District of Massachusetts. And I'm sure Barney's hired two or three new consultants and is going for an image makeover after the results down here. Also, Summer Shields out in California running against Pelosi. But how did you see this from where you were sitting in Purcellville, either of you? I know you were closely watching. You were in touch with Keisha and Alicia and with me. How did this process evolve in your minds?
Well, I think that the point should be made that what Keisha did and what the other candidates on the other LaRouche Democrats are doing, they put their political careers on the line in calling for Obama's impeachment. I mean, we had rumblings from inside the institutions, from the organizing that we've been doing, that's been done on the streets, that people hate Obama, especially on the question of NASA, on the question of the healthcare. But to have a congressional candidate really with the courage and the guts to put everything on the line to make it happen and to tell people in the streets, I am going to do this. This is my promise to you. That's absolutely significant. And it's created an outstanding potential within the Democratic Party, within the rest of the races nationally, to force Obama out and force him out before these candidates even come in.
You could see that in one of the films that you highlighted on the Down with the Traitors, where Keisha's at a door and there's a woman standing there looking, eyeing Keisha a little suspiciously. Then Keisha shows her a statement which says impeach Obama. She gets a huge grin on her face and starts pumping her fist. I mean, that actually was going on throughout the district. Matthew, what do you have to say on that?
I remember when Keisha and Summer and Rachel gave their initial press conference of the National Press Club. That must have been back in January, the beginning of the year. And the idea at that point, I know with these campaigns, was something had been released in the American population, something which had been lurking underneath the surface, what we called waking the sleeping giant, had occurred in August with these town hall meetings and the initial salvo when LaRouche came out with the Obama mustache and we led the fight against the Obama health care plan. We knew that we had identified that there was this mass strike in action, in motion, in the United States. But the question was, where do we go now? For the American people, what do we do now? What's the next step? And the unifying idea was, look, we know that somebody has betrayed us, and we want our republic back, but it wasn't clear how the American people were going to do that. So the idea with these campaigns at that National Press Club event was, we're going to come out as a new generation of leadership, and we're going to educate this mass strike. We're going to take something which is a fragmented and piecemeal process and bring it into a single unified front with a limited number of these congressional campaigns, these three campaigns around a unified theme, and we're going to focus it towards bringing in a new generation of leadership and changing the political terrain before the November elections even come around. So in that way, it was a question of leading the fight. And I think one of the things that has definitely caught people's attention around the world in the days following Keisha's victory is that Keisha openly said, I'm leading a fight against the British Empire, and I don't care what the Democratic Party hacks have to say. So that's definitely caught people's attention, and I think the American people are beginning to feel the resurgence of patriotism in their bones, and they're beginning to have a more specific understanding of what it means to lead a fight against the British Empire behind Keisha's leadership.
And the House organ of the British Empire, The Economist of London, reflected that in a story on their American politics blog, where they wrote about how it looks like America is going to go to war with Britain. And it was written in a typical British tongue-in-cheek style, and of course you don't know which tongue and which cheek that is, but as Lyndon LaRouche said, it really wasn't tongue-in-cheek. It was the British sending out a message, this is serious. Now, Keisha, to go back to you, and let me remind people we're listening to the LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, March 6th, 2010, 4 days after the epic victory in the 22nd District of Texas by Keisha Rogers, who won the Democratic nomination. And we're speaking with Keisha along with Matt and Leandra of Down with the Traitors. And you should watch that every Sunday night. If you're not watching it, you're missing something. Now, Keisha, when you took off on this campaign with this idea that you're going to go for the impeachment of Obama, I guess you could say this is counterintuitive, a Democrat calling for the impeachment of a Democratic president. I assume that you had quite a bit of opposition and also people who thought they were helping you, telling you, Keisha, don't bring that up. Just stick with your positive ideas. Give us a little sense of what that back and forth was when you first went out with this campaign.
Well, yes, I think the ironic thing is that once we started to go very forcefully with this campaign for impeachment, my opponent took it upon himself to continue to go out and say that he used the term of what I was calling for the impeachment, to use that as his campaign rally to say that I'm not the candidate that's going out for impeachment, so vote for me. And you had more people, despite the fact that the party hacks and those within the party establishment did their best to try to say, no, you have to be practical. You have to say what's in the party line. We're not going for impeachment. If you want us to endorse you, if you want to actually get somewhere in the Democratic Party, then you have to stop this insanity about calling for the president's impeachment. And a lot of people came up to me. Well, I don't agree with everything LaRouche has to say, but your policies are good. You have some really good ideas, economic policies. But why do you have to go out there and call for the president's impeachment? And as we continue to go more and more into the campaign and become more and more outspoken on this question of impeachment, people started to take us seriously in the population and say, okay, this goes on to something. As the president's policies started to come out on the cuts of NASA, then more and more people started to join us. But at the same time, it was sending a clear signal of a freak out within the Democratic Party and the establishment. And I would rest assured that the Democrats and the party hacks are still today, you know, trying to pick themselves up off the floor after this victory, trying to figure out how, after they went very strongly against my call for impeachment, especially with the candidate of the Democratic Party, the nominal candidate of the Democratic Party that was saying, well, I'm not like Keisha, I'm not going for impeachment, receiving only 27% of the vote when I went out very strongly in the population, not pulling any punches on this, and received 53% of the vote. They're still trying to figure out how in the world does that happen.
Well, Keisha, I think also I'd like you to comment on the comment made by an aide to your opponent in November, Pete Olson, who's the incumbent. And clearly they're watching these results very closely. But there's an article in today's Houston Chronicle, which I must say, having fought the Chronicle for many years, and my wife Susan cut her teeth digging into Chronicle reporters over the years to try to get them to be honest. And in today's paper, there's a relatively honest story, but they quote your opponent's aide, who said, "Perhaps you wonder whether the Democrats in this district have profoundly changed their views on the president because she didn't hide her position." I think that's what you found, isn't it? The Democrats, once someone said the unspeakable and said Obama has to go, you did get responses from people.
Absolutely, and that's what people were looking for. Once there was somebody who was willing to that had the guts to tell the truth, to go out there and say that you don't need to be afraid, come out of your house, come out of your hiding holes and fight with us, that's what people started to do. And it was very clear that the population broke from the practical standards that were put forth in the Democratic Party and took our initiative as we were going out and saying, this is not a fight about Democrats versus Republicans, but a fight of real patriots versus the traitors to the nation. And people took that and really started to run with it, as we saw from the election results.
Well, speaking of getting rid of the traitors, when Matthew, you and Leandra launched your program, I'm not sure we were so aware that we were so close to this kind of breakthrough. But how have you tried to cover the campaign to give people an understanding of this process?
Well, I think the main thing, we've had to emphasize repeatedly that the business as usual, old politics, has gone out the window. That the idea that we're dealing with just the same old Democrats versus Republicans, and it's the same old stale kind of political lines that get hit back and forth as if in a tennis match or something like that, was out. And something new had taken over, the idea that there was no longer two parties in this country like we formerly knew it, but you were dealing with, well, the name of our show, the Patriots versus the Traitors. And you, politics had broken down into those kinds of divisions, stretching across party lines. So the idea was, you're not trying to fit yourself into an old dynamic. We're the people who are making a completely new dynamic. And we're here lifting the chains off of people's imaginations. We're calling people out of their houses and their hiding holes, like Keisha just said. And, you know, we're dealing with an unprecedented process, but it's a process which people like Mr. LaRouche understand very well. You have a dynamic, like you mentioned, Harley, like Shelley identified, sweeping the American population. You have a mass strike which is popping its head up in all kinds of different forms, from town hall meetings to Scott Brown in Massachusetts and now Keisha Rogers in Texas. This is a process that is not going away. It's not going to recede. It's something which transforms and evolves. And the way Rosa Luxemburg described it is, it's a process where the people are educated in the university of political action. And I know we saw that in the footage from Keisha's campaign, what you guys learned in the process of this fight.
Well, I think this question of the spirit of the age, which in Shelley's language is a beautiful poetic conception, but he means something concrete by it. And the question is, how do you, in a campaign or in covering a campaign, how do you communicate this idea of increasing the creative potential of a population? Leandra, when you guys are putting together your program each week, I assume there's a significant portion of your discussion on precisely what to choose to demonstrate this.
Well, yes, because if you look at the United States and what our role has to be now, it's not just a matter of saving our own nation. That the identity that every American has to have is our role now internationally. What LaRouche always emphasizes, what he emphasizes in his papers, in his webcasts, is that you're not going to see the kind of revolutionary transformation of the world system, the world, because we're in a world economic breakdown. You're not going to see a transformation come from Europe, from South and Central America, that it's going to have to come from the United States. So what we generally do is take the focus, bring the focus out to the bigger picture of the U.S. role internationally. And I think that what each of the candidates is doing in putting forward the call for, first of all, the LaRouche plan, which is incredibly significant, but also putting out the call from the beginning of each of their campaigns for a Glass-Steagall standard, separating the commercial banking from the Wall Street banking functions, and calling for that as an international standard, is highly significant, because in doing that, they are, and this I think is what the London Economist is so frenzied about. They're calling directly for a war against Wall Street and a war against London, who's historically been the controller of Wall Street. We're saying, dry them up. We don't need them. And then send Lord Jacob Rothschild and his Inter Alpha group packing. And basically, we can put Jacob Rothschild in a zoo. I think it would be just.
I think it would be an insult to the other animals.
Now,
what Leandra's bringing up, Keisha, I want to come back to you on this, because this is an important point. There are some people, mostly a bunch of degenerate tweeners in Austin, who are trying to figure out a way how to do something to unelect you. And their quarrel is not with you, it's with the voters. But it's clear that the White House has been afraid thus far to say anything. We saw Robert Gibbs dance around this the other day when he was asked, what about the Keisha Rogers in the 22nd District? And he started babbling about bipartisanship. You might as well have been talking about unicorns and fairies. So the question, though, comes up, who is a Democrat? Because some of these people are saying, well, Keisha's not really a Democrat. But in today's Chronicle, it also identified in the Harris County Democratic Party chairman said that LaRouche's ideas and Keisha's ideas are those of Franklin Roosevelt. So how important do you think it is that you're putting forward the traditional views of the real Democrats before the tutti-frutti type Democrats like Al Gore took over? How significant is that for your district?
This is very important because, I mean, one thing that the Obama reaction, the reaction from the White House right now, is that Obama made it clear that he was going to not re-inspire or reinvigorate the ideas of a Franklin Roosevelt legacy or a John F. Kennedy legacy in the Democratic Party, that was old news and it should be thrown out the window. And we have seen from his policies that he has taken and to spit on the grave and the legacy of President Roosevelt. And this is what the Obama administration is responding to in this victory, that they know that what LaRouche has been fighting for and what my campaign and the campaign of Rachel and Summer has continued to represent is a reinvigorating of the spirit and the tradition of President Lincoln, who fought very aimlessly, very strongly and powerfully, should I say, against the British Empire, against the forces of Wall Street in London, especially Roosevelt. Roosevelt's policy with his Glass-Steagall, his policy with the bankruptcy reorganization, going in the first 100 days and completely transforming the government by shutting down the banks and saying that we were going to put the banks through bankruptcy reorganization. We were going to take and sort out the dirty Wall Street London financial interests from that which is was legitimate. That's what we're fighting to bring back today, and this is what scares the hell out of not only the Obama administration, but those who continue to act in the interest of the enemies of the U.S. and what our U.S. Constitution and our U.S. preamble and republic represents. And so I think it's clear right now that what Mr. LaRouche has laid out and what he's going to continue to emphasize in his upcoming webcast, that the Ides of March are rapidly approaching the Obama administration, and it's coming more quickly than you can imagine, is very appropriate because Obama's on the way out. Many people know that. That's why a lot of his administration has refused to respond or has kind of held back from responding to what just happened in the Texas 22nd District with my campaign nomination for the Democratic Party.
Well, even the respected columnist, and I use that term somewhat derisively because I don't respect him, but David Broder, one of the establishment spokesmen, even raised the question of, are there some people inside the administration trying to fire the president? And as Lyndon LaRouche said to me the other day, there are some people who see Obama as a loser, and they're trying to decide if they want to go down with him. But on this question of who is a Democrat, I'd like Matt to weigh in on this because, you know, if you want to have a litmus test, maybe we could take Guantanamo, the Patriot Act, warrantless wiretaps, the Afghan War, attacks on Medicare, support for the insurance industry and the drug companies, and realize that Obama is actually following a George Bush, Dick Cheney blueprint, isn't he, Matt?
Yeah, this is the continuation of the imperial presidency. It's sort of funny because a lot of people who are members of the LaRouche youth movement or organizers with the LaRouche PAC, including Keisha, we really cut our teeth fighting against George Bush and Dick Cheney. We came into this movement while Cheney was the imperial controller of the George Bush White House, and LaRouche called for Dick Cheney's impeachment. Now, it might be a little bit confusing to somebody who believes in politics as usual that you have to be part of one football team or the other, that not less than 1 year after Dick Cheney is gone from Washington, LaRouche is calling for Obama's impeachment. But that's not the way that politics works. Either you're a patriot or you're a traitor. And if you're a traitor, we're going to impeach you.
Well, and I think that we're seeing something that LaRouche has been talking about. And Leandra, I'd like your thoughts on this. What LaRouche said the other day is that someone in the Congress has to cross the line and say, you've gone too far, Mr. President. We're watching to see whether that happens on NASA, because the attack on the manned space program is an attack on one of the most important legacies of the last century. We're waiting to see where the courage will come from. It's not in the institutions yet. Do you think people will get that from seeing what Keisha did, Leandra?
Well, absolutely. And I'll just put it out there that if Olson thinks that he's going to have an easy election without calling for Obama's impeachment, and he's an incumbent, so of all people, he should be the one putting out the call. But if he thinks that he can get by without calling for Obama's impeachment, and any of these guys really, he's kidding himself. And you're seeing it. You see it more and more in the population that they hate the incumbents. And basically, I mean, what LaRouche had said, I think it was probably in discussion on Tuesday, that the Democrats and the Republicans are taking absolute non-action. The country's going to hell, and more people people recognize that. They can't get a job. They can't get an education, which
well,
are these
actually,
huge
Actually,
Mayandra,
yeah, I wanted to ask you about that because I know you were following closely the events, especially in California, but around the country, of students joining the mass strike. What can you give us on that?
Well, it's significant that it's coming out of California, which has been absolutely wrecked under the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was not insignificantly brought in by Jacob Rothschild.
Mm-hmm.
But that these cuts that have been ongoing but then worsening since the 2007-2008 breakdown in the United States has created a situation where students are trying to look to the near-term future, even trying to complete their education, and they can't do it. Obama's new credit card laws had a major effect on that because now they can't get access to their parents' credit and they don't have credit. And it's a desperate situation for the young people in the country. So what our organizers have done, which is keeping in the mode of our candidates, is we went to these rallies in San Francisco, in Los Angeles. There were others across the country, but the most significant ones were in California. And we expressed this is what the solution is, that you're not going to handle the problem of budget cuts just from the standpoint of demanding more for education, that we're in a national breakdown. We're in an international breakdown of the global financial system. And so reorienting people to that higher plane of action, because they're already mobilized, but it's really a question of education and getting the ideas out there, which we did at these protests, which we're doing every day on the streets and every day on the LaRouche PAC website.
Well, one of the comments made by the Harris County Democratic chairman, and Harris County is the city of Houston, so it's one of the largest Democratic Party voting blocks in the country. One of the things he said about Keisha is he said, one of the things the LaRoucheites are able to do is engage young people. If she can turn out young people to vote for Democrats, all the better. Now, Keisha, you did some significant campaigning at some of the campuses in the district. Were you seeing a similar kind of response that we're talking about in California, at least a sense in the youth of wanting to do something?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is a very important point in the victory that was established and won in Texas in the 22nd district, because one thing that we did that most of the Democratic Party, really none of the Democratic Party or even the Republican Party had the ability to go out and do was to recruit a movement within the university systems. I know that throughout the campaign, one thing that was very unique about what we were doing in the organizing was to go out onto the various community college campuses. We would go out to the universities, we would go out to the community colleges and set up tables, and we would have a table there with the campaign posters, the poster that we had, Houston, we have a problem, with the Obama mustache or mm-hmm. Hitler mustache or impeach Obama. And this would draw like hordes of the students over to the tables, and they wanted to find out what we were doing, why we were saying calling for the impeachment of Obama. And we told them, you know, if you want a future, if you want a future, then you're going to have to go with these policies, call for the impeachment of Obama. And you had a real open response from the students. Several of the campuses we saw facing major budget cuts, major tuition increases. Students were up in arms about it, and they saw what we were doing as a real solution to taking on not only the insane policies of the Obama administration, but bringing forth an alternative. That many of these students are racking up debt beyond belief. We're shutting down our science driver. We're shutting down our space mission. There is no objective for mission orientation. So a lot of them can't find jobs, and they're in a situation where they're going to be going to school paying tuition, paying loans back in an economy that's continuing to go down the tubes. And so what we were able to do on the campuses to inspire them to get involved in the fight was very important, because I know the last several days of the organizing, we would go, one campus we went to, we actually went, I guess, the last day before of the election, and we went to two campuses where one was a campus that I actually spoke on in a classroom to about five or six six classes that a professor invited me into, of government classes. And a lot of the students were saying, you know, they had already gone to vote for me, or, you know, they were saying they were on their way to go and vote. And that day we actually had some fun, because we took one of the guys went out dressed up as an astronaut, and we told the students that this is probably going to be the last astronaut that you're going to see unless you actually go out and vote for me, vote for Keisha, and go out and fight. And this really provoked and inspired people. So I think the campus organizing and rallying the students was very important.
Now, I'm going to take a couple of questions we've gotten in, and then I'm going to go back to the discussion. If you have more questions, send them in to radio@larouchepub.com, and we'll have a little bit of time. But we have one from our good friend in Mexico, Ingrid Torres, who asks, what do you respond to people that say that it was Republicans who voted for you? That's very simple. The Republicans had a very hot election between two heads of hair, Kay Bailey Hutchison and Rick Perry, and Republicans voted in the Republican primary. In fact, there were more than almost double the number of voters in the Republican primary as in the Democratic primary. What I would say to that is that there was only one Democratic campaign on the street, and that was Keisha's campaign. And Keisha was doing the only get-out-the-vote drive. So I think anyone who says that is still sticking their head in the sand. Now, a second email we have from Adam Rodriguez, and boy, we're getting some fan mail for Leandra and Matt. He said, glad to see you're talking about the Down with the Traitors program. And he has a question about the nuts and bolts of campaigning. Adam, I don't think we have the time on the program to take it up, but if you want to call in to the LaRouche office, I guess you're in Pennsylvania. If you call in Philly, they'll tell you how you get your can get on the ballot, what you have to do to launch a campaign. But I think people have to have this sense that of going out and organizing, so we appreciate that comment. Now, Leandra, let me just ask you about this question of the upcoming elections in San Francisco in June and Boston in September. We're getting an increased activity from those two campaign districts. What are you seeing? What do we have coming up on the Down with the Traitors to cover those campaigns?
Well, let's see. A lot of it depends on quality of footage. I'm not really kidding, but also.
Oh, in other words, you're saying our listeners should send in money to the campaign so we can get better recording equipment, right?
You see, Harley, you're always on the ball with these things. Absolutely. Yeah, we need funding for these campaigns, but I actually just got off the phone with Rachel campaigning against Barney Frank, and what she's been doing for the past few weeks is really excellent. She and the other organizers have been organizing at these intersections with big banners that say vote for Rachel Brown and then the Obama mustache. Some of these signs are as big as 5 feet, so very, very distinct from a moving vehicle. And basically, people are pulling over saying, give me whatever you have, give me whatever material you have, taking leaflets, and then a lot of them are sticking around for these meet and greets, just at local coffee shops, to sit down with Rachel and discuss the campaign and discuss where the United States has to go. So that's picking up steam. And in San Francisco, Summer made a pretty big appearance at the rally at the San Francisco Civic Center. There were about 10,000 people there at the protests, and Sumer was out there as, you know, the candidate running against Nancy Pelosi, and he was interviewed by seven different interviewers, mm-hmm. including NBC, the Chinese press, and some of the local student groups.
Well, the Chinese press is very important in his district, which is almost 30% Asian Americans. But I think we just need to put out an alert to our listeners that Pelosi is going to do everything she can to keep Sumer off the ballot, and you've got to follow this case and this fight to for Sumer's campaign. Contribute to it and contribute to Keisha, because Keisha's now in the election through November. Now, Matt, I want to come to you on one of the issues that LaRouche said, besides NASA, was a crucial issue in his determination that Obama must go immediately, and that's the case of the terrible situation in Haiti, where the United States, the Obama administration, is about to start pulling out medical personnel, hospital ships, and the U.S. Army, precisely as the rainy season is beginning. Lives are threatened by malaria, by dengue fever. What kind of sense do you have of the importance of this as an issue that we have to make to demonstrate that Obama's got to go?
Well, we do have a video actually in the works at LPAC TV, which will be coming out within about a week and a half or 2 weeks maybe. Some of us here are working to interview members of the Army Corps of Engineers and other people who have expertise in this field, who would be the qualified people to go in and rebuild Haiti. Leandra is working on this project, and some other people are also. And so we're going to be compiling a video among several people who the LaRouche movement has organized around the emergency situation on the ground to evacuate the people of Haiti and to build the adequate facilities to deal with this crisis. But the broader point, actually, that your question brings to mind is the difference between somebody like Obama, who is just, he's such a narcissist. He's so full of himself. And the only thing in the entire universe that he cares about is Obama. And then you compare that to Keisha. I think that since so many eyes have been turned towards Keisha's campaign over the past few days since she won her victory, you know, a lot of people are looking at her written statements and what she's done in the streets and her campaign to save NASA and so forth. One of the things that I think people should really look at, and some of this press should puzzle over a little bit, is Keisha's beautiful presentation at the Lincoln President's Day fundraiser dinner that you guys had down there. We covered some of this on the Down with the Traitors show, and I know the footage is also on Keisha's website. But watching Keisha read excerpts from a speech by Abraham Lincoln, watching Keisha give a memorial to the statesman-like leadership of Lincoln, and in fact, watching Keisha sing a Franz Schubert song at the end of that event, accompanied by a harp singing Ave Maria. I mean, if you look at that kind of personality that Keisha possesses and the way that the population has responded to that kind of leadership and the kind of statesmanlike approach that a real American would take towards the people in Haiti, and compare that to Barack Obama, it becomes immediately clear why we have to impeach this guy.
Well, and I would encourage people, go on the KeishaForCongress.com website. It's KeishaForCongress.com website. And Keisha brought this up earlier. I'll make this point now. There will not be a LaRouche show next week. Actually, we're going to have the real thing, the real LaRouche show, because at 1 p.m. Eastern Time next Saturday, March 13th, Lyndon LaRouche will be delivering his webcast 2 days before the Ides of March on Obama's Ides of March. Now, that's something that people should start organizing for. Don't just mark it down in your calendar that you're going to try to remember it. Organize everyone you know as if your life depends on it, because it does. Now, Keisha, on this Ides of March, I put out a statement after your election for LaRouche PAC in which I said that your victory is hastening the sense of inevitability of the Ides of March. How do you look at this question of the Ides of March and what's happening with the Obama administration?
Well, I think it's been made very clear in the population that the population has issued a clear mandate that the Obama administration has failed them, and Obama must go now. And seeing, you know, that the population went against the grain of what was expected, the practical standards of the Democratic Party, Democrats came out in a overwhelming response to my campaign and the leadership that we were providing, and voted for me in a three-way race at 53% to 27% to 20% for the other two candidates, based on the fact that we were going out very clearly with the question of impeachment and putting the policy of the LaRouche plan and a real economic solution on the table, that it's made it very clear that we don't, that the Ides of March, that Obama's removal is coming very quickly, and that he should be very, very aware of that and very nervous about what the population has to say right now.
Akisha, I was with you the other night at the Harris County Democratic Party campaign kickoff event 2010, mm-hmm. and we talked to a number of people who may have been a little nervous that they'd be overheard saying something negative about the president. But weren't you surprised that in the official program there wasn't a single Democrat who mentioned President Obama?
There wasn't a single Democrat who mentioned President Obama, and the speaker, who was a major talking head and strategist who's been around for quite some time under the Clinton administration and with Carville, did not mention anything about President Obama, nor did he mention anything about the economic crisis that the country's facing. So I thought that was, you know, a very clear sign that, you know, you have a real freak out going on, and that people just don't, either they're avoiding the reality of the crisis or they're afraid of what's to come.
We were joking around that if you got less than 50% and there was a runoff, we were hoping your opponent would invite President Obama into the district so that you could win a landslide the second time around. But as Lyndon LaRouche pointed out, you won a landslide the first time around.
That's
so,
right.
So, and Matt and Leandra, I know we're down to about 8 minutes. Just any thoughts you have on each of you on the coming period, what our listeners ought to be thinking about as they decide what they're going to do with the next 3 to 6 months of their life?
Well, first of all, Leandra can say something, but I want to point out that what you just mentioned, LaRouche's statement, which he called Keisha's victory, his post-election statement, which he wrote and we published on the website, he also decided that it would be a good idea to read this statement out loud and to have a video recording of himself delivering that in the spoken word. And if people have not seen that yet, they should immediately go to LaRouchePAC.com and watch this mm-hmm. statement called Keisha's Victory from LaRouche.
But in terms of the coming period, I think that people can definitely look forward to Obama's Caesar moment. And right now, there was actually some concern after Keisha won that there would be an attempt from the top, from the White House, especially around, you know, David Axelrod, who is apparently throwing a wild fit upon hearing the news of Keisha's victory.
He's pulling out all three of his remaining hairs.
If only we had footage of that. But there's so much infighting going on in the White House right now, and such a surge from the population, that if you were to take any action to try to put this fire out, I mean, it's greater than it was in August. So any attempt, I think people should just really get a sense of their potency as the American people right now, that you have them scared. We're in a position where we can actually win this country back, but it's going to be an issue. You know, as LaRouche keeps pointing to this question of cultural dynamics, and he pointed out in his most recent paper, The Senile British Lion, that a culture, it's not just an aggregate of experience over generations and generations, but you really have to ask yourself, I mean, I'm not going to give a definition. What is it inside this country, inside of members of this country, that's so unique? And when you start to ask yourself that question, you're going back not hundreds of years, you're going back thousands of years in the process of human development. And I think that if you find your potency within that process, I mean, then moving Obama out of the way and moving towards a better future, as Keisha has defined it in her platform with the saving of NASA, the vision for NASA, especially the Moon Mars program. I mean, that's where we're heading.
Well,
Harley,
your answer reminds me, Leandra, of something else that Percy Shelley said in The Mask of Anarchy about how the population should be thinking about this. We are many, they are few, and that's why we can win. Keisha, you wanted to bring something up?
Yes, very, very important. I think that it's important to tell the audience and to the listeners and the voters also that the fight's not over. I know a lot of people have the tendency that once mm-hmm. they go to the voting polls, they pull the lever, they vote for the candidate and say, I've done my job, so it's over. But no, what we're trying to inspire in people is that we're building a movement. We're going out and educating the mass of the population that you have to, you know, understand your role in history and participate in this fight to save the republic. So as we continue in the next 8 months here with Rachel's campaign and Summer's campaign, for people to understand that that's our objective, that people have to continue to back our campaigns, to contribute, to be a part of the process of educating a new generation of leadership within the population and taking responsibility for our republic and for their futures. And so anybody who thinks that they just went out and voted and that was said and done is highly mistaken, and they have to, you know, start to think about what they're going to do now to continue this fight with us.
Well, that's like the soldier who fires one shot and says, okay, the war is over. We've caught the attention of the British Empire, and you can see this by logging on to The Independent, The Economist, and others. We've caught their attention. It would be foolish to think they're not going to fight back, and as LaRouche has been emphasizing, one of the ways they're fighting back is they're out to destroy the potential for Lyndon LaRouche's Four Power Agreement by hijacking it through their so-called BRIC operation. So people should go on our LaRouchePact.com website and read Lyndon LaRouche's latest article on the evil, stupid, and whatever else it was. I forget the title sometimes. But it's the most recent paper, and it gets right at the heart of this question of what is the nature of a human being and what is unique about the American system, and why, if you put those two conceptions together, the creativity of what's required in a republic, you'll see why Keisha won the election. It was no mystery. It was nothing special. It was no brilliant practical campaign tactics. It was hard work, courage, and imagination. And I think this is the key in this political fight. So we're almost out of time. The other thing I'd like you to look at is at 3 a.m., maybe even 4 a.m. Eastern time on election night, Leandra and Matt did an interview with Keisha. It was a special, I don't know if it was special off the cuff or special down with the traders, but that's also up on the website. To Matt and Leandra, as one who helped you initiate the down with the traders, I think I was interviewed on your first program, I'm delighted I could return the favor and interview you today. I want you to come back as this campaign unfolds. So thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Harley.
And
thank you, Keisha.
And
Keisha,
we're going to hear a lot more from you, aren't we?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
All right. Well, look on KeishaForCongress.com. I'm told there might even be a new statement up today, huh, Keisha?
Yes, it's in the works, coming out soon.
All right. So you've been listening to The LaRouche Show. It's Saturday, March 6th. Next Saturday, a special day, Lyndon LaRouche's next webcast will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. If you're on the East Coast, come into Washington area and see it live. Just check with your local LaRouche PAC office. And that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much for joining us.